In a world where businesses strive to stand out and make an impact, there's a fundamental truth we can't ignore. The customer is at the core of it all. Welcome to Customer Centricity, the podcast understanding customers' situations, perceptions, and expectations.
Customer centricity is a key focus in everything that we do, and there are many aspects to this. An important one we always need to be aware of is ED&I. Okay, hello everyone. We've had a lot of talk around our business around EDI in our business and our industry as a whole, talking about the advantages it can bring, the opportunities, but also some of the responsibilities that we have as a business to ensure that we are dealing with this subject correctly. So what we've brought together today is a podcast for you with Adam Tobias, who will introduce himself shortly, who's an expert on this, to help us understand how we can make sure we're doing things right in this area. Doing the right things for our business, for ourselves, and most importantly, for our customer and clients. Adam, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi there, Paul. Thanks so much for that. Yeah, my name is Adam Tobias. I work for an organisation called Inventum Group. And very simply, we help organisations to become more equitable, diverse and inclusive. My background is recruitment and staffing. And so I work a lot with recruiters and talent acquisitions teams to help them embed inclusive recruitment processes and engage their own stakeholders in this conversation.
Perfect. You put it a lot better than I do, Adam, so thanks for that. Probably a good place to start is just, we talk about the words ED&I quite a lot. We throw these expressions around just to understand exactly what we mean by that. So just help us understand what it means and why that is important in the staffing industry, so we're all in a good place to start the conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes it's said, we say ED&I, sometimes we say DE&I, or you might say D&I. I've heard IND, I've heard EDIB. I mean, a lot of this is semantics, but let's say ED&I. I mean, very simply, they stand for equity, diversity, and inclusion. And what does that mean? What is equity? Really simply, equity is about fairness. It's about leveling the playing field. It's about giving individuals the support that they need, but maybe unique to them. We used to use the word equality, and that seems really reasonable, doesn't it? Giving everybody the same thing, that's about equality. That seems really fair, but actually we need different things, don't we? So what one person needs to perform and succeed may be different from somebody else who sits right next to them. So equity is about fairness, reducing the barriers that some people might face in the workplace to have access to the full opportunity that they may have. Diversity, often when we talk about diversity, what springs to mind, especially in the UK, is people think diversity is maybe about gender or sex or race and ethnicity or maybe age. And it is, of course, all of those things, but we focus on those particularly because they're what we can see. But actually, diversity just means the ways in which we differ from one another, how one person differs from another, how one group differs from another. Those characteristics I mentioned are important, and they're important in the context of representation. But diversity itself just means difference. And I think it's really important to define that. And then inclusion. What is inclusion? Inclusion, people often say to me, Adam, inclusion is about a feeling. And for me, it's not actually. It's not about feeling welcome. It's the act of creating an environment where people are welcome. And there's a distinct difference between that. So it's something that we have to choose to do. It doesn't just happen by chance. So inclusion is the processes, the policies, the culture of maybe safety, psychological safety, where people can be themselves, where they feel safe to belong, to be the authentic version of themselves.
Okay, interesting. So you can have one or the other. It doesn't necessarily mean you've got all three. I suggest all three. You really need to look at them, be conscious of each one as a separate thing. One doesn't automatically follow the other. Yeah,
okay. Absolutely. And that's why it's important to often those three letters, those three words can mold into what they bleed into one another. But it's important to separate them out.
So do you think recruitment as an industry is an inclusive industry? Does it embrace inclusive recruitment?
No, not okay. Fully. I think, look, there are some amazing organisations out there that really want to do the right thing and are starting to buck the trend. I think the recruitment industry is interesting in the sense that, especially when we're talking about a large organisation, we're an organization, a company ourselves, but we're also a service provider. Okay, and I think there's an opportunity there for recruiters to be able to distinguish, to change their relationship with their clients from trusted recruiter, and sometimes that's quite a transactional relationship, even if it's a long-standing relationship, to becoming a trusted ED&I advisor to our clients. So I think it's really important that we recognize there's two parts to this, what we do internally and also how we engage our customers.
Okay, so let's take that first one first. When you say what we do internally, talk to me a bit about what we can do there, what we should be doing there.
So I suppose it's about attracting diverse and underrepresented talent. So that could be through our own businesses as recruiters. You know, we're hiring recruiters or we're hiring business services staff. But also how we attract diverse and underrepresented candidates for our clients. So what are those processes? So they might be things like how we advertise, how we build networks and connections with talent, how we build an environment where people think, you know what, that's an organization where I want to work. I may never have considered this industry before. Maybe I can't see anybody who looks a bit like me or is from my background there. How do we change those perceptions? So it's about process, you know, things, really boring stuff like advertising. It's like job specs. It's like how we interview people, how we reduce bias from the recruitment process, and how we, I think a lot of this is about how we recognize how important it is to build an inclusive organization.
I guess from the point of view of some recruitment people working in recruitment, they might say, I've always filled the jobs working the way I am. You're asking me to change. I advertise where I advertise. I stick it up on LinkedIn. I ask my network, and I fill the jobs.
Yep.
What would you say to those people about the benefits of being perhaps a bit more inclusive?
Yeah, look, I think there's three. It's a really good question. And look, you know, we are commercial. Right? We have to be commercial.
We're here to make money. We put people to work. We find good work for good people.
Absolutely. There's purpose there. But to do that, to continue to have a positive impact, we have to be in business, right? So we have to be commercial, right? So I'm not taking that away. But I think there's three, and I would never want to do that, but I think that sometimes there's a misconception about why this is important. There's three parts to this for me. Ethics, right? Very simply, what is ethics? It's about doing the right thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about, you know, creating, you know, we talk about values, we talk about behaviours, we talk about doing the right thing, we talk about inclusion, we talk about the impact on individuals. That's really important. But there's also two other aspects here that I think are really, really key. This is about mitigating risk to our organisation, but also on behalf of our clients as well, right? So what kind of risk might an organisation be facing if they're perhaps not seen to be particularly inclusive or attracting different kinds of talent? Well, there's a reputational risk there, right? And also I think about, you know, maybe the war for talent. I think we're probably all a bit bored about talking about the war for talent, but the evidence is very clear. About 70%, there's a recent study, 70% of new entrants to the job market in the UK, 70%. And that could also include people returning to the job market, expect their employer to have really sound ED&I policy that means something, that actually matters. Not some words on a wall, somewhere plastered in an office or buried deep within a website, stuff that really matters. So if we want to continue to attract talent, that's really important. There's also, as I mentioned, reputational issues. We see issues around resilience. So we live in a changing world, right? We've got changing financial, economic challenges. We've got changing environmental challenges. We've got changing socio-political challenges. The evidence shows that organizations that really embrace ED&I are more resilient to all of those conditions, you know, are much more robust to change. There's also things like stakeholder expectations. Our clients expect us to be able to help them navigate their own aims and ambitions around ED&I, and they won't work with us if we don't. You know, it's not a kind of a question of a, you know, you're either playing catch up or you're ahead of the game. There isn't really any middle ground here. We're also seeing changes around regulation and legislation. So let's say financial services industry, for example, Very likely in the next 12 to 18 months, we're going to see a regulatory requirement for organisations to report on their diversity metrics and also their diversity plans. Shareholders, you know, there was a study recently by Morgan Stanley, the American investment bank, that said 80% of investment decisions look at ED&I as an investment criteria, i.e. organisations, if they don't have really robust policy and procedure, they're much less likely to receive investment. And then there's also things like groupthink, just the danger of creating organizations where we're all pretty similar. Now, I was a recruiter for many, many years. The amount of times I had a client say to me, Adam, you know what I like, get me another Dave, get me another Steve, get me another Sarah, okay? That sounds really reasonable because Sarah, Steve and Dave have done brilliant jobs. But we've got the danger is we end up with a homogenous team of people who are all thinking broadly similar. And that gives us huge risk in terms of spotting opportunities and threats. We have an overblown sense of our own morality. We stereotype out groups and we just miss opportunities to be innovative. So there's that part, risk. And then the final part is performance. There is so much data to show that organizations that are diverse and inclusive significantly outperform their competitors in terms of financial performance, but also capturing new market share, being innovative, coming up with new products and services, making better decisions, they're better at problem solving. You know, it's really hard to refute evidence, empirical data from the biggest consultancy firms in the world. You know, yeah. There's been so many studies to show that those organizations outperform their peers.
So if we're talking about that, I think we therefore can be putting ourselves in the position as a recruiter, probably educating our clients quite a lot as well as, you know, as we sit in the middle of this whole process. If we were to be doing that, I mean, how could we help them? What metrics could we help people? Could we suggest that they be tracking to understand the effectiveness of their recruitment program so we can help them? How would you suggest we could directly help our clients?
Well, I think that's the key opportunity for us in the recruitment industry, isn't it?
Yeah.
To actually influence our clients and actually really help them. And that changes our relationship, doesn't it? That enhances and strengthens our relationships, certainly versus our competitors. We all know in our industry, it's highly competitive. People are out there looking to eat our lunch all the time. And so it's not just about winning new business. It's actually about retaining our existing business. It's about having different conversations with our clients as well. A lot of the organizations that, you know, we work with, there will be a focus on ED&I, but often the hiring manager, the line manager, doesn't necessarily get the support they might want or need in terms of how they should be hiring. And they need to work with recruiters who value that. So I think that's really, really important. Now, there are metrics we can put in place so we can help our clients understand how effective their own recruitment process might be. So we could look at sort of surveying applicant data, seeing at the top of the recruitment funnel, you know, monitoring anonymously, surveying our candidates anonymously about their personal characteristics at the top of the funnel, and then redoing that at the end of the funnel, at the offer and acceptance stage, to see what differences there are between the representation of the pool of talent at the top versus candidates coming out the other end. And that gives us an opportunity to say, okay, there may be a challenge here. So this might be around process. Maybe we're not attracting enough diverse talent, or maybe that our recruitment process itself, the interview process, the screening process, the referencing process, the onboard, whatever it might be, might not be as fair and equitable as we would like. So there's an opportunity for us to understand what's going on. I think the old business saying, isn't it? If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. Yeah, so you've got to measure it. We've got to be able to measure some data. We've got to understand what's going on.
There's an opportunity there as an external thing as well, isn't there? I think most businesses, the humans inside the business look at themselves, and this is quite a hard thing to be critical about because I think most people like to think they do this right. So that external third person perspective, if you like, or almost consulting process that here's some evidence that we've helped you come up with, is probably quite powerful and is adding a lot of value to our relationship as well. So the opportunity is definitely there. Inevitably at this point, given what, you know, I pick up the paper and listen to the radio every day, someone's going about AI.
Yeah.
Could that get involved, do we think? Do we see a future where AI is getting involved in this?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's sort of two sides to this coin. There are some things that we should be excited about, you know, with AI. I mean, we can certainly streamline processes. We can speed up screening. We can speed up candidate communication. We could reduce bias in the recruitment process using AI by allowing systems to, you know, focus on skills rather than personal characteristics. We could create inclusive job descriptions and advertisements, reducing things like gender coding, which is using certain words in adverts and job descriptions that might be discriminatory from a gender perspective or from an ethnicity perspective. It could maybe reach candidates at a far greater pace. We could reduce requirements on job descriptions just to the key things. Often we'll see clients will ask us for a long list of requirements for a candidate. Very simply, the longer the list of requirements, the less diverse the talent pool is going to be, right? So you can say you care about ED&I and then give me 50 requirements, and the only people who can do that are like everyone else who you've already got.
It's like Dave and Sarah who you had before.
Exactly. But and we can track metrics in real time, so we could actually look at that data, you know, that those metrics, what's going on in real time, to see we've got a problem here with our interviewing process, for example. But there is, of course, a risk. AI uses historical data. If the data that we're using is biased, AI is going to perpetuate those biases. There are also legal implications. So AI requires access to large amounts of data. Okay, that's how it works. It needs a lot of data. So there's obviously challenges around privacy, around compliance. We could think about regulations like GDPR, for example. Many AI systems operate like black boxes. There is a lack of transparency about how and why decisions are being made. So how do we counteract some of those dangers? Well, we need a really diverse and representative data pool, if you like. We need constant human review of those processes and of that data. We need diverse and representative teams to be involved in the development and the deployment of these systems. And we need to have ethical guidelines and standards. For me, AI represents a fantastic opportunity, but it's got to be a hybrid approach where we're including human empathy and judgment in the capacity and capability of AI systems. So it's a balance. AI is not going to solve this problem in and of itself, but it's a useful tool.
We need about AI to operate to the best practices just as much as we do. Maybe we can check and balance each other.
So in summary, let's just remind ourselves of what we've talked about. We've talked about equity being around fairness. We've talked about diversity, meaning just the difference between individuals and groups. We've talked about inclusion being the act of creating an environment that's really welcoming. We've looked at the importance of inclusive recruitment through the lens of ethics, doing the right thing, risk, mitigating and reducing the risk for ourselves, but also for our clients and our customers. And then we've talked about the performance benefits for ourselves and for our clients. And they are very, very clear, all of those sort of three aspects. That's that business case that's really important. We've talked about the importance of engaging our customers in a conversation that's different from our competitors, acting as a trusted ED&I advisor to our clients, strengthening that relationship, helping them to stay ahead of their own competition as well. We touched upon the role of AI in recruitment, the good, the bad, the ugly, but also some of the things that we can do to help mitigate the negatives, to really, you know, show why AI is going to have a role to play in inclusive recruitment as we continue on this journey in the digital age.
Fantastic. And that's really just an introduction to what is quite a broad subject, as we've been talking about, Adam. There are many different strands to this. What I particularly like is the idea of we can really be educating and consulting and helping our customers get better. And there's some more specific ways we can do that. We can look at in the future, things like unconscious bias, interview techniques. We've spoken about the how and where we advertise to help improve everybody in these areas. Fantastic. Thanks very much for joining us today, Adam. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next time.